Hi, Nana. Hello. How are you doing?
Hi, Tay. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm not going to give my usual answer, but the answer still remains the same. I am exhausted, and I'm tired, and I've lost all concept of time. But, you know, we live to see another day, and we're grateful. So, yeah. And it's not raining. It's been raining every day here. Thunderstorm warning, flash flood warning. Last week, my power went out 3 days in a row. I'm sick of everything. COVID is still around. I don't know. Nana, I'm exhausted.
I'm sorry, guys. I know sometimes it's like we sound negative, but we are trying. I know, like, everyone's just trying to push through. It's just been rough for everyone this year. I don't know. I think it's because of the realization that COVID probably isn't going anywhere for a long time. And it's just annoying. And everything is just, it's just a bit rubbish right now. But at least Sex and the City is there to cheer us up.
I mean, sorry to add to the negativity, but this episode was trash.
It was didn't trash. Cheer me up.
It did not cheer me up. Everything about it, if I had to say one word, was wrong. Mm-hmm. It was just wrong, wrong, everywhere I turned, wrong, making me annoyed. Ugh. No.
Yeah, it definitely made me annoyed. I didn't actually think it was a trash episode, like, because I like it when things actually happen. The episodes I just don't like is when I'm just like, are you guys just, you think we're idiots with the audience? Because it's 30 minutes of filler and nonsense. So at least things happen. But yeah, I agree with you. Everyone was just annoying and irritating, but one person in particular.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, we are on episode 17, What Goes Around Comes Around, which also happens to be the penultimate episode before the finale, which I thought we'd never get to.
Is that, she ended up being kind of fast, the second half, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's called What Goes Around Comes Around. And before I start going into the episode, guys, there is a blog, and I'm pretty sure it's old. It is old because it's like, I think they stopped blogging maybe a year ago or something. Or maybe not, I'm not sure. But it's called Carrie Bradshaw is the worst.com. So every episode, this person just goes in and just finds out all the things that are wrong with Carrie, what she did wrong in the episode. Most of the times, it's stuff that we've mentioned, and they just call it out, like how self-centered she is and how annoying she is. So if you're looking for a laugh or just trying to channel your mean energy somewhere, just read.
I'm mad you haven't told me about this earlier. You know, this is right up my street. I want to check it out. When we finish recording, that's so funny.
So, yeah. So this episode starts with, okay, like a whole summary of this episode is that Charlotte finally reaches her breaking point with her sexual issues with Trey. Samantha meets somebody else who's also named Sam Jones. Carrie is relentless in trying to apologize to someone. And Miranda dates someone who she thinks is hotter than her. I just got annoyed saying that summary again, just remembering everything. But let's dive into it. This episode starts with Charlotte, who is with Trey's family, you know, in the suburbs, in their house. I think it's with Trey, his mom, Bonnie, his brother, and his brother's wife. Is that right?
Yes.
And because at first I wasn't sure if it was his brother's wife or his sister, but I think it's his brother's wife. Yeah. And they're playing tennis, and Carrie's doing a voiceover. As a sidebar, I always think of actors who have to do voiceovers like, oh my God, not only do you have to act, but you have to go back and then you have to do, you know, voiceovers. And voiceovers aren't just like one take. You have to do it over and over till you get it right. And that has to be like a lot of work.
It's a skill, you know, it really is. That's what I'm saying. I like that we highlight, as much as we bitch about the characters, the actors really do a fantastic job on this show because it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So she tells us that From the outside, Charlotte's 2-month marriage looks like a bed of roses. And they're having conversations, that's the family, about the McDougal history and their house rules. It's something silly, like wearing pastel versus whites, you know, during tennis or whatever. I'm like, oh my God, you have to have so much money to consider things like that. Like, who the fuck cares? Charlotte excuses herself from the conversation to go change, and as Carrie's telling us, like, she had no interest in hearing about the history since her own history was depressing enough. So she tells us that after a few half-baked attempts at a fulfilling sex life, if you remember last episode, they had sex for a minute and a half, that Trey seemed to give up, that the only place he tried to score was on the tennis court. So Charlotte comes across a hot, shirtless, sweaty gardener and stops. And basically she just stops and she ogles him. And I think this was a time period where TV shows were just all about the hot, shirtless gardener. Because if you remember famously with Desperate Housewives, he was just always about rich woman with a gardener and all that. So Sex and the City was not above it.
Whether it was before or after Desperate Housewives had started, because it gave me strong Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. So Charlotte, and then that was it. So next we see Charlotte telling the girls that she doesn't know what it is, but she's strangely drawn to him. Later on, we find out his lunch, but I was just thinking, like, none of these women spend a lot eating out. Especially in New York. I just can't imagine what their eating out budget is.
Don't cook. I feel like the only one of them who probably even buys groceries is Miranda. Because at least I've seen her with groceries. I can't see the rest of them cooking at all.
And then even if it's groceries, it's probably snacks. Because she's always ordering out too. Her local Chinese place and sushi. Yep. If anyone, I would think that Charlotte would be the one that could cook, because in her mind that's part of being a good wife. So
yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, don't. But also, I used to think it was really strange, but I know some people now who don't cook at all. Which is crazy. It is crazy, but hey, they've got the money, right?
Yeah, they can afford it. I don't know about Carrie, but yeah, they can afford it. So but to be fair, Carrie's never stiffed on the check, and she always puts her card and all that, but she's probably charging it and has a mountain of debt. But Charlotte tells the girls that she doesn't know what it is, but she's strangely drawn to him. Samantha had dry jokes. Of course you are. The man can plow. So she tells them that he has the most intoxicating scent, full lips, and it's insane that she can't keep looking at the gardener since she's married. And then Samantha, again, with the pointless lines that they give her, what is the point of being in the suburbs if you're not going to fuck a gardener? What the hell does that mean? Jeez Louise. But then Charlotte continues to drool over him when Natasha walks in. Carrie hasn't noticed, but Miranda just tells her, whatever you do, do not look up. I think this was inevitable because New York is small, so it was inevitable, and they kind of run in the same circles that they were going to run into each other. But of course, Carrie looks up and locks eyes with Natasha, and Natasha had come in with a friend who happens to be black,
And gorgeous black woman.
She whispers something in her friend's ears. The friend and Natasha glare at Carrie, and then they walk out. So the first thing I noticed was that Natasha wasn't wearing white. So yay. I don't know why that has always struck out to me.
That's good for her, man. So and also, I actually thought that was a good reaction. At least they didn't come over and start abusing them. They just left. So
Yes. Could have made worse. Her point. So Carrie immediately puts her hand in her head and starts saying, oh my God, oh my God. And, you know, I give the, you know, as much shit as we give the writers for lazy writing, I give them kudos for including this scene and bringing Natasha back, because we were just talking about it, how we felt like Carrie cheated like on a whole ass married man, caused this woman a fall, hospital and all of that. And it just felt like nothing happened. So. Yep. Good on the writers for putting in that reminder, like, you can't have something that monumental in your life and you just kind of like, oh, okay, on to the next. I don't know. Maybe it does happen, but that's just the way I see it. So Carrie said, did you see the way she looked at me? Charlotte is like, did you see the look her friend shot us? I'm like, okay. Carrie was like, the contempt was so bad, but to her credit, she looked genuinely mortified. So yeah. Samantha is all like, who the hell does she think she is? And Carrie is like, Big's wife. And Carrie's like, that was awful. I can't believe there's a person in New York who could hate me that much. Okay. Carrie, that is not the point. Like, you did something. They didn't wake up and say.
That's been my whole issue. It's been me, exactly. Which is fair because you're the one in your body. But not once are you thinking how this woman feels. Sometimes just shut up. Like, you did something awful and you fucked up. It's okay to just live with that. You don't need to do the extra. You know, yeah. It's okay. You made a mistake. Live with it.
I feel like if she had just said, I can't believe that it's to the point where I did something so heinous. Or what's the English? Heinous?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did something so heinous that someone hates me that much. But she said, she turned it around to be like, I can't believe there's a person who could hate me that much. I'm like, yes. Okay, Carrie.
Exactly. So
after lunch, Carrie says that she was so devastated that her only recourse was to go shopping. She had a cute dress on. I don't know if it was a wrap or anything, but it was like this pink print dress or whatever. But she took a...
I said she looked fantastic. And I also really like her glittery purple Fendi purse. I just love it.
But she took a wrong turn. And this is daylight, by the way, again. Yeah, after lunch. But she took a wrong turn and then she lost her direction. So she's like in something that looks like an alley. And then she stumbles across a man. And she asks this man for directions. And this man legit pulls a gun at Carrie and asks for her bag. Carrie is stunned and I'm traumatized. I wasn't expecting
it. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot even imagine a gun being pulled out on me in daylight in an alley in New York. I was like, how do you even get over that? So she even asked, she's like, is this for real? He's like, give me your watch and your ring. And I'm still shocked in broad daylight and no one has seen anything. And he still has a gun pointed at her.
I have to say, I don't think I share your sentiments. I wasn't that shocked, I have to say, because she was in a rougher part. That's the whole point. She'd stumbled into an area she doesn't usually frequent. And I feel like it's very easy to be shocked when that's not your world. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure the people that live in that side of town, they're going to be aware of their surroundings and their bearings at all times. They're not going to be daydreaming and wandering around. I don't know. So I don't know. It just didn't shock me that much. And again,
I think what I'm shocked at is, regardless of your thing, your being aware of the surroundings or anything, even if it wasn't that location, is having a gun pulled at you and being robbed. It's the act itself. Like, I'm just shocked. Because again, it's in New York and it's whatever. Yeah, and you're on the wrong side of an alley. But for me, it's just traumatizing. A man having a gun at you, being robbed, is just...
Oh, yeah.
It's an event that I'm just like,
yeah. But I wasn't shocked. And also to do that annoying thing to compare New York to London. But a lot of my friends were also mugged at knife point, just not gun point, in London growing up, depending on where you were. So it kind of made me think of that as well. I just felt like, I'm not blaming Carrie because no one deserves to be mugged, especially at gunpoint, but it's that she wandered into the wrong part of town.
Yeah, and then to be fair, it could happen anywhere. So that's what I'm saying. Yes. Like, it's not necessarily the location. It's just even the knife point, anyone, it's like a violation. Put it that way.
Yes,
so that's the part that is traumatized. Like, I always give, not always give, I've told the story before of how I was on a train once and fell asleep and I woke up to a man filming me. There's no knife, there's no gun, there's no whatever, but I was traumatized because it was just a violation. So I felt for her that whatever it was happening at any point. So she asked, and then he asked for her Manolos, and that's where Carrie loses it and is even begging him. But then I lost my sympathy because she's doing that cutesy thing like she's auditioning for Broadway, and she's all, please, sir, I got this repair. It was half price at a sample set. I'm like, Carrie, you're being robbed.
I feel like that scene was playing off that iconic scene in Clueless as well, when Cher gets robbed also at gunpoint and asks for her designer stuff. But yeah, it was definitely, I feel like they were definitely playing off that scene in Clueless.
I don't even know. I mean, fair enough. But I don't even know if I should have even felt anything for her, because in Carrie way, I don't think she was even traumatized. Like, through the rest of the episode, I don't think she even acted like someone that was like, oh, I got robbed. I'm not, everybody reacts differently to things, but she didn't seem like she had PTSD or anything, because I think I mentioned in the last episode how Carrie seems to make light of a lot of things, like everything just in her own bubble, and is so this. So just the fact that, you know, the way she was saying, I got this a half price, who has time for all that story when you're being robbed? Like, you might die, and that's what you're, I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. But she's bare feet on New York street, and that's all I could see, and I was like, oh my god, ew, ew, ew.
She was just saying ew, ew, ew as well. That made me laugh. Once her feet touched the ground, she was like, oh my god.
So she walks and screams, and then she ends up in what looks like a salon. It's like a salon, mani-pedi, something like that. And she just screams, I've been robbed! And everyone looks at her and then just goes back to business as usual. And Carrie's white woman jumps out and is shocked that no one is fawning over her. So she repeats herself, I've been robbed! Like, Carrie, everything is not a Broadway audition. I just, you know. But the next scene that we see is that the cops are with her and, you know, asking her questions about it. And then, not surprisingly, Miranda walks in. And you can see I don't know if you saw it, but there's a lady who was, like, in a white towel and apron, and then walked in the back looking at these people like, who are these white women just making a whole fuss about what? And, like, this look of disdain that made me laugh. So Miranda's all like, I can't believe this happened to you. And then, I can't believe he took your shoes. And Carrie tells the detective, whose name is Detective Stevens. We never find out his first name, actually. It's just Detective Stevens the entire episode. That Miranda is her friend and her lawyer. And he just seems instantly smitten by her. So he tells her that, you know, she can come along and read him his Miranda rights. And he immediately apologizes that that was lame. But Miranda's like, oh, I think that's funny. So the two are vibing. And I guess Carrie's feeling left out because she's doing all these stunts somewhere, just trying to like, hello, look at me, I'm here. So he asks.
Sorry to interrupt. But that line he said about Miranda rights, things like that are only acceptable if you're very good looking, which he didn't mention. He's a very good looking man. You can't get away with things like that if you're ugly. Sorry.
I mean, that usually be the difference between a lot of things. If the person, well, not if the person's good looking, if you're attracted to the person or not. But yes, as Nana said, he was good looking. So it just came up as, and they were vibing. So, so it worked. So he asked Miranda for her card, and she gives it to him. And Miranda has brought a pair of shoes for Carrie, and Miranda is, to me, being petty and passive-aggressive because she gets Carrie these shoes that Carrie would never in a million years wear, and it was too big for her. Like, why didn't you just get the girl flip-flops? I don't know. It's somewhere. And then Carrie just kind of saunters. I know that's the comedic aspect of the show, but she just kind of skis her way out.
You know, I'm laughing. I swear I had a pair of shoes like that when I was 6 years old. I'm not even lying. There's a picture of me. Do you remember those socks that we used to have? You know, the ankle socks.
The frilly socks.
Yeah. I had a pair of those shoes. It was white with a baby heel. It's white frilly socks. I'm like, oh, God, she's mocking it. It was horrible. Horrible pair of shoes. But, yeah.
That was funny. So then we move on to Sam, and Sam is home, and she's been getting wrong number of calls, and her voicemail, she's getting messages for Sam Jones. By the third call, she picks up and realizes that Sam Jones is having a blowout party. So the next evening, Miranda has a date with the detective. She's trying out clothes and calls Carrie that she's having an anxiety attack. And also reveals that he has been in her living room for 20 minutes and she can't figure out what to wear. Carrie asks her why she's so worked up. And she says, he's too good looking for me and he's out of my league. And Carrie is like, this is your karma. And Miranda is like, yes, it is. Years of dating odd men that the universe is now throwing her a bone. I mean, I really want to stop complaining about the same things about the show, but I feel it's like shoehorning a theme.
Yeah.
And that's what they were kind of doing. And, you know, Carrie wonders if a string of bad dates equal one good one. And does everything that goes around, will treating someone badly in one relationship ensure that you be treated badly in the next? And does everything that goes around come around? And will it come around to bite you in the ass? Is there such a thing as relationship karma?
No. It's something we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better, but there isn't. Wicked people thrive every day, B. Just is how it is.
Yeah. Sorry. I agree. Yeah. And you have to realize that for the most part, something you might consider that someone has wronged you, that other person is like feeling justified, like, I did not do anything.
Yeah.
So there's nothing.
And sometimes crazy some people also know they've done something bad and they don't care.
Yeah. I think I don't believe in karma, like I said. I think the only one, and I know it's a myth, the only one thing I kind of play along, you know how like horoscopes, you know, it's not exactly, you know, accurate or anything, where you just play along with it, like, oh, this sign does this. The one thing I would do is like, men who are dogs always seem to have daughters as their first child or whatever. Like, I know it's not factual. But at some point, I was just like, there seemed to be a pattern between, like, people I knew or people, like, they always used to have, like, daughters, because I was like, haha, that's your karma. And then all of a sudden, they have the realization, like, oh, women are someone's daughters. So that's the only joke.
F off.
That's the only jokey karma.
I'm laughing because literally just on Friday, I was talking to my coworkers because one of them was talking about, oh my gosh, yep, they're just going to get their karma. And I was like, no, they're not. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to be mad and it's okay and move on. But I generally feel like karma is a myth, relationships or otherwise. We say it to make ourselves feel better. But yeah, we have Nazi sympathizers, come on, that they discovered fled Nazi Germany and dying at 98, 103. Do you know what I mean? It's a myth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. So later that night, Carrie goes with Samantha to the mysterious Sam Jones party. And then they have this conversation that I feel like I lost brain cells in. Like, how are you grown, accomplished women? One claims to be a column writer, and this is just rubbish. Samantha says she feels there's a cosmic purpose to all this. And it's too much of a coincidence. How was it too much of a coincidence? You got a wrong number and name is Sam Jones. Sam Jones is not exactly the most unique name in the world. And Carrie asked Samantha what the cosmic purpose of being snubbed by Natasha was. And I'm like, again, it's not about what you did. It's about your feelings. The purpose is that you fucked somebody else's husband. Hello. Yeah. My God.
And so you're just going to have to deal with everything that comes with it. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyways. So Samantha asked if she shared a piece of information about Big and Natasha, would Carrie consider it a cosmic purpose or random gossip? Samantha... And then Carrie's like, it depends what it was. What is it? So Samantha tells Carrie that Natasha left Big and it's over. Carrie seems so shocked. And honestly, I just realized in that moment that I had just assumed that Natasha left Big. I, for one second, did not think that she was still with him. But I think that's fair that she still had a choice if she was going to stay with him or not. So Carrie's like, she thought they were still together. And she can't believe that she was responsible for breaking up their marriage. And Samantha is like, you're not. It probably wouldn't have worked. And, you know. I'm like, but she,
sorry. Even if it wasn't going to work, you were the catalyst, so.
Yeah, or you were a factor.
Yes.
Either way, you didn't have to play a part in, you know, that. You could have just let that happen as it was. Mm-hmm. So they get there, and they get to the location, and the location of the party is a dorm. Any sane person, any woman in their 30s, or Samantha, who's approaching 40, or already in her 40s, sees that it's a dorm. The thing to do is to turn right back around and go back to your house or go get a drink. But no.
Okay. Thank you, Tane. Thank you. I'm so happy you said that, but continue. I don't understand that. Why you wouldn't just turn around and leave. Let's go have drinks.
That like, was very strange. Yeah. So they still go in because Samantha wants to find Sam Jones. Why? You find out it's a dorm, so likely he's a college kid. What do you want to find that out for? So she finds him, and he's basically like a dorky kid. And she confronts him about the number and says, if she... And then he says, if she's getting the calls, that explains why he's a virgin. I don't know what that means, but... Miranda, and then we switch to Miranda, and
wait,
again.
One second, did you recognize him? Did you watch Justified? Or no, have you?
No, played? I didn't.
Oh, okay. He was in Justified. He was a main character. But no, yeah, oh, sorry.
Okay. Once again, like I said, I'm just beginning to realize maybe it was just this season, because I haven't said anything about it before, how the transitions are very, very interesting, for lack of a better word. But we see Miranda come back from her date. And she's being weird. She can't stop talking. I just didn't like the way they kind of gave Miranda a transformation. But it's also not so unrealistic, because, again, in her mind, he is out of her league. But he grabs her and kisses her. And Carrie tells us that Miranda felt like she hit the cosmic jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think it's a very dangerous thing when a woman is overly grateful that a man is into her.
Yep.
Regardless of what the circumstance is, if someone's expressing interest in you, there's a reason. Well, hopefully nobody's saying, like, some people don't have intent or whatever, but you should always think you're the shit. I don't care what you think about yourself, but if someone's expecting, match that energy and make them realize that they're lucky to be with you.
Yeah. That whole thing, I was actually trying to think back if there was a time I dated someone that I thought was too good looking for me, and I was like, no. I have dated people who are like, wow, you're like really good looking, and maybe been surprised that they were like hitting on me, but I've never like been with someone and then thought, oh my gosh, they're too good looking for me. I don't know, have you?
I'm trying to think. I think I've dated people who I think, like, okay, like, they're good looking. Mm-hmm. But I think I, even if there was some kind of slight insecurity, one, I never let it show. Two, yeah. I have to remind myself, like, nah, I still have things that I bring to the table that is, you know, valuable. So, no, we're matched, you know, in any way. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever dated someone where I'm like, oh, my God, they're entirely out of my to the point where I'm just overly grateful that you're throwing me a crumb over the table. Yeah. Fuck that.
I don't think I would ever date someone if I felt that way. No matter how good looking they were. If I physically felt inferior, like that much inferior to them, it's just a mind fuck. And dating is hard enough. I just feel like, why would you add all that extra insecurity?
Yeah. So once again, this happens, and we switch back to the party. Thank God they're finally leaving, and they're going down the stairs, and Carrie gets pushed down the stairs by two drunken kids. And then now Carrie is now convinced that it's karma. They get out there, and they can't get a taxi, and she always can't get a taxi. So did you catch the tone?
Yes.
Such a privileged woman. So Samantha is wondering what the cosmic reason for Sam Jones is, and maybe it's to fuck him and give him the great first experience she never had. Yuck. That was gross. Hearing very it, gross. Watching it, everything about it, gross. And then good on Carrie for saying that's not karma, that is statutory rape. Like, mm-hmm. You see, and this reminds me, you know, last episode when Marianne, or I can't remember the name, was giving head under the table, and they're trying to tell us that Samantha has her limits. And I'm just like, I get it. But then you turn around the next episode and you tell me you want to fuck someone you just met and give him the first experience, and it's just icky. Like, don't do that. I get that Samantha is the sex positive character, but mm-hmm. don't tiptoe that line. Yeah. Between, like, Samantha is not starred for dick. So every time they do a storyline where she's trying to get dick, like, in the weirdest, like, far reach places, I'm like, to what end?
Because I'm sure college student is, what, 19, 20? You seem like a young college student, not even, like, a 21, 22-year-old. I'm just like, this is predatory. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. If the tables were turned, we would be shouting up and down about it. It doesn't make any better because she's the older one. It's just predatory. I don't like that.
And it's also not necessary. Like, what are you... Like, if you don't do it, does it take the skin off your back? You don't even know. Mm-hmm. It's just... So, anyways, we see Charlotte masturbating as she fantasizes about the gardener having sex with her. Then we realize that it is a dream. And Charlotte is doing the ultimate most, because in real life, Charlotte is banging her head on the headboard, moaning loudly. And honestly, these people have deeper problems, because Trey is so oblivious that he wakes her up and says, "You're having a nightmare."
That bit made me laugh. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even recognize sex sounds. This is how bad it is.
I'm just like, to make it worse, he's all like, "Oh, and you're all wet." And I'm like, she is.
not in the way you're talking about, though. But yeah.
So we switch over to Carrie. I cannot believe it, or should I believe it, but Carrie does call Ralph Lauren, which is where Natasha works, and asks to speak to Natasha. I can't believe it, because I'm like...
Kane, I'm sorry. This episode, I'm going to have to break my being kinder to Carrie embargo. I have nothing nice to say about this woman, this episode. Like, nothing. I'm just warning you, but yes, please continue.
That's okay. During this time, as she's trying to call Natasha, is when I noticed that her apartment is huge. Like, it's just, I noticed the kitchen and everything, and I'm like, good for her, New York. But she calls the assistant, and the assistant tells her, like, "I'm sorry to tell you, but you'll be holding till forever." And Carrie says, "Yeah, then I'll hold." Again, we switch over, and the next week, Charlotte approaches the gardener, and she's making conversation. And I'm honestly, while I'm trying to decide if she's flirting, all of a sudden I see that they're kissing, which I just thought was dumb. Again, broad daylight, and, you know, you're in the gardens. Anybody could see you. But I guess it was just that drawn to him that her brain cells weren't functioning.
You know, I initially thought that kissing scene was also, like, a fantasy scene. The I didn't realize it was real. Yeah. The way it was, weird. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. So next thing we see is Trey's sister-in-law, you know, watching them. I was like, okay. And then that was that. So then Sam Jones shows up at Samantha's house to apologize for all the calls. And he comes with a single rose. Then he tells her that, oh, he's been waiting for a woman like her his whole life. And just grabs her head and kisses her. He throws her in the bed. And next thing we see is him just pumping away and Samantha telling him to slow down. I don't quite understand what's happening, because we see a montage of different positions that don't even seem practical. But I can't tell if Samantha is enjoying it or not, because she's making a face. But then afterwards, he says that was awesome. And Samantha was like, actually, it was. So what was your take on that?
It was weird. I 100% agree with you, because I think it was supposed to show, because he said he was a virgin, right? I think they're supposed to be showing, like, the exuberance of a virgin, which wouldn't that mean he came quick instead of trying to fold her up into a million positions? But I guess that could also apply that this is what he thinks sex should be and is trying to act it out. But then I didn't understand Samantha's reaction either, because it's like she was suffering through it. Why?
Yeah.
Oh, Samantha. I don't get it. It just didn't make sense to me. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Yeah, I agree. And again, it was just, it didn't cover up the grossness. Like, this woman actually is having sex with, I don't know. It's just, So then Sam Jones decides to tell her that he loves her. And she's like, nope, it's just the first time you're having sex. And then she chases him away. Again, everything about it was gross. So Carrie is doing a voiceover telling us that later that night, the McDougals were enjoying their cocktail hour, which starts from 5 p.m. to last man standing. As a sidebar, being a member of the McDougal family sounds like torture. I just can't imagine living life, having all that money, but living it by rules and having a regimented schedule and sitting there. And does not sound like fun. So they're just having small chatter. Bonnie's smoking as usual. The boys are bickering. And then Patty, the sister-in-law, starts recounting her day and just casually mentions, and then I'm taking a walk through the grounds, and then I see Charlotte kissing the gardener. And I'm like, huh?
That was weird. Why would you drop her in it like that? But anyway.
Yeah, and the response is Bonnie's the only one who speaks, but she's like, well, Charlotte, you're a McDougal now. And I'm like, huh? Are all of them impotent and this is what happens? We never really got an explanation about that.
I feel like it was telling us that they're the kind of family that connections and marrying the right person is the most important thing. As we could probably tell, you know, like, what good breeding. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's that weird rich white people thing where it's like good breeding is the absolute most important thing and nothing else matters. And then it will be like, it's your duty to have like one or two children and then anything else, whatever. Like, say the tables were turned and Trey was like a complete and utter hoe, was cheating on her left, right and center. I'm sure none of them will give her any sympathy for that either. They'd be like, well, as long as he does his duty and produces heirs, you're just basically going to suck it up. And I feel like that's what it was trying to show, that they're that kind of family where it's just your marriage and the connections and how it looks, that's all that matters. Anything else, that's your own personal problem, you know?
Weird.
That's
what I was telling you guys, that everything about this episode was just wrong for me. Like, everyone was just not, I don't know. It wasn't this episode was in retrograde. So Samantha comes home to discover 35 messages from Sam Jones on her voicemail. As she listens to each one, they become progressively frantic, and even I'm worried for her. So we move on to she should have known better, to be honest. Like, it's not that serious.
Mm-hmm.
So Miranda's on another date with the detective when the waitress comes to take their order, but he's so engrossed in Miranda and only has eyes for her. Then all of a sudden Miranda realizes that every woman is staring at her date, and they were wondering why he was with her. So she drank to feel better about herself. They came home. She drinks a lot of martinis, 6 martinis to be exact. And they come home and she's drunk. They're making out and he's like, you're a little drunk. But she insists that, you know, I'm fine. And then she tells him to his face that he may be the most beautiful man that she's ever been with. She's no Mina Suvari. It was
obviously. They made me laugh. It was so dated, right?
Yeah, they made me laugh because I'm sure this is probably when American Beauty came out or something. Mm-hmm. That she's no Mina Suvari, but she's great in bed. And I'm like, no. What is this punishment through Miranda, the character? And I just started thinking, like, honestly, Cynthia Nixon has to be a confident person because they're just practically saying that she's not that good looking, and they're throwing all these storylines at her because you would never have any of the other characters have a storyline about someone not being like being too hot for them, and that's the truth. I don't know, and we've seen it so many times now that it's kind of like, and I'm sure if you're watching it spaced out in real time episode after episode, maybe it's not so noticeable, but we're binging it and we're watching it and it just seems to be back to back to back a whole shit fest on Miranda, and it's just, I don't know,
targeted harassment, but yes.
So Charlotte, when Trey didn't come to bed, goes to look for him in the middle of the night. She didn't even put on a robe or anything. She goes in her flimsy nightgown and she finds him playing tennis in his boxers. And can I just say that Trey was hot, Kai McLachlan, in his boxers, sweaty. He has a nice body in his tennis shoes and his socks. And I'm like, man, if only you could get it up and keep it up.
Charlotte would be the happiest woman in the world.
So Charlotte tells him, like, listen, Trey, you're upset. And Trey says that, no, that what do you expect? I can't meet your needs. So he has to look the other way. And Charlotte is like, I don't want a husband who looks the other way. I want a husband who wants to hold me in his arms and make me not want to kiss the gardener. And Trey is like, no marriage is perfect. So much of what we have is wonderful. We can have separate lives and be together. It's totally acceptable. Mm-hmm. And as Charlotte looks at him, she realized that she just couldn't do it. And she tells him that when they get back to the city, that they probably should separate for some time. And Trey just says, alrighty. That was annoying.
Yeah. He did look sad, though, I will say that.
Yeah.
As he said it. And I'll have to say, like, I'm not even mad at Charlotte because I feel like she's tried. She's done her best. Yeah. Yeah, you kissed a gardener, you shouldn't have. But I feel like she's tried her best. Because in my head, at first I was like, maybe he's just someone who's not sexual, even with the whole impotent storyline. Yes, he can't get it up. And maybe he's just not that interested in sex. But then he clearly is, because she found him masturbating. And he does that regularly, it seems. So the problem is between you and your wife, and you're not doing anything to solve it. So I feel like she's well within her rights to be like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, funny enough, there would be some people who would just take that route, get service somewhere else, and just stay married to Trey. But, you know, not Charlotte. That is not what she signed up for, so... We're back to Carrie, and 7 unreturned calls later, Carrie says she couldn't wait to be forgiven.
And she's stalking this woman as well, Tane. Like, can you leave her alone? You already fucked her husband. Why are you calling her at her job, at her house? Leave her alone. What is your problem?
I have no words. No words. So Miranda wakes up the next morning and she wakes up to a hangover and realizes that Detective Stevens had left a number for her local AA chapter. Boys and girls, self-sabotage works, people.
So. Ouch. That had to sting. I'm sorry.
Like, you could have had a good thing. Just be yourself and think yourself as worthy. But then that's what I'm saying. Like, decide if you want to make Miranda a character that is, you know, believes in herself, has self-confidence, or one that it just seems in the last few episodes, like when it comes to men, she's just crumpled. Mm-hmm. So, and that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's realistic. Some people struggle with that, but decide what you want her to be. But when you make her waffly, one minute she's this, one minute she's that, because all I keep hearing in my head is, when Miranda yelled at all the rest of the girls and says, well, all we do is talk about boys, like we don't have anything else going on in our lives, we need to be more than that, and blah, blah. And then next thing we're seeing all this, and I'm like, well, make it consistent.
And the thing is, if this was a different kind of show, I can understand Miranda feeling like that, maybe like the first couple of dates, but then afterwards you would get used to it and realize that you also have a lot going for you, and you're also bringing something to the table, even if you do think he's quote unquote too good looking, but it's just not that kind of show.
And
they got along and they could have made it work, in my opinion. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and if you think that someone is out of your league or whatever, then why wouldn't you just stick it out with Steve?
Yeah.
He's, yeah, I mean, that makes you feel better. You feel you're equally matched. You make more money or whatever. But what you were looking for was, quote unquote, an equal or someone you're equally yoked with. They give you that. And then now that's an issue. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So. So Sam Jones is at Sam's house, just pressing her buzzer incessantly and screaming, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And I hope, yeah, that was the last of that stupid story.
Yeah, just to call the police. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we see that Charlotte came home to her old apartment, which she was smart enough to just sublet and still keep. Probably when she found out that he couldn't get it up before the wedding, she's like, let me just keep this. So again, since Carrie, the Almighty, has decided that she can't wait to be forgiven, she has Samantha's assistant pump Natasha's assistant to find out where Natasha was having lunch.
This is despicable behavior. I'm sorry. She's stalking this woman. There's no two ways about it. But yeah.
Carrie shows up in that, I think, famous newspaper print dress. Like, you're trying to apologize, but you're also trying to look your best to the woman whose life you kind of ruined.
In a Dior dress, looking amazing, backless, her titties sitting.
Oh my God.
But I mean, you're not going to go look like a bum. Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah, but at least look like, but you know, like, for example, when you have like a court case, you're not going to dress the way you usually dress. You like, at least pretend and then dress like formal or a job interview. You pretend.
It's like, still dress not like good, someone but not who's, sexy. Yeah.
Yeah. Dress like someone who's actually sorry, not someone who's trying to prove like, I'm still better than you. So Carrie just accosts Natasha, as far as I'm concerned. Like, she just sits there and she's like, I need to talk to you. And then Natasha says, I'm going to scream.
Good.
God! Carrie's like, please don't. Like, I'm only going to be here for a second or whatever. And then she's like all dramatic. Do you mind if I drink water? And then she takes this long gulp and says, thank you. And then she's like, I heard about your marriage. I never meant for any of this to happen. And I just wanted to say, like, I am deeply sorry. It was wrong. And then she starts to leave. But as she leaves, Natasha stops her. And Natasha tells her, I'm sorry, too. And then Carrie's like, you are? For what? She's all like, oh, my God, I'm not the only one that's bad. And Natasha's like, I'm sorry for it all. I'm sorry I moved to Paris and he fell in love with me. I'm sorry that we got married. I'm sorry that he cheated. I'm sorry that I ignored the fact that he was cheating on me with you. I'm sorry that I fell. I'm sorry that even that I broke my tooth. And even after painful dental surgery, my tooth still have different colors. I'm sorry that you felt the need to come down here, because not only have you ruined my marriage, you have ruined my lunch. Slow motherfucking clap for Natasha.
Two snaps for Natasha. Yes, read her. She deserved it. And it was even a classy read. Do you know what I mean? Read her. She deserved it.
Like, I was fully expecting her to be like, it's okay. Like, we were going to fall apart anyways. I was like, no. Do not make this easy for this bitch. Like, you cannot. I'm not even judging Carrie for doing what she did. Like, it is what it is. But just the way she's handled it. Like, she owes you something and all that. Like, what even?
Leave the woman alone. That's all I'm asking her. You've already fucked up her life. Why are you going on this apology tour around New York, stalking this poor woman? Leave her alone. Especially when the apology clearly has nothing to do with her and it's all about you. I feel like that's what's making it even more despicable. Don't go and look to this woman for, like, you know, atonement. Leave her alone. You've already ruined her life. Like, deal with that shit yourself. Oh, so irritating.
So, yeah.
So, that was my favorite scene, by the way, of the whole episode. Because she
the writers got it right.
Mm-hmm.
The writers absolutely got it right, and the way they did it, it was perfect. And then her lunch date arrived at the perfect time. I was like, Natasha, and she's like, oh, hi. And then Carrie just walked away feeling so small. And to your credit, to your point of, you know, the actors being very good. Like, all the actors actually are very good at the subtle facial expressions that tell a lot. So you could just tell that Carrie felt like, oh my God, this did not go how I was thinking. She was hoping to be absolved and walk out feeling like, at least I made peace and my karma has been restored. Fuck that. So Carrie says, as she walks away, I don't even know why they put her in slow motion, but Carrie says she realized that her actions had set into motion a chain of events that put Natasha back on the singles market. That annoyed me.
Like, yeah.
Of all the things, we're still focused on the fact that she ain't got no man.
Yep.
That was
no. I feel like she was saying that she'd fucked it up for the rest of the other New York women because she'd put Natasha, someone who's that gorgeous and young, back on the singles market. That's how I took that line.
Well, the reason why I didn't take it that way was because she said I put her back on the single. Well, maybe it is, but as if it's not hard enough to be single. So maybe it was. I think I took it as, now she's subjected Natasha to be part of what they're going through, and she knows how hard that is as a woman, and you know, she didn't want to put that out for her or whatever. But then this is the line.
I didn't even cut it from that angle, but yeah, that could also work.
Yeah, so maybe it was open to interpretation.
Yeah,
for what it meant. But this is the line that made me even like, as if I wasn't already annoyed. But she says, "And somewhere out there, Big is alone again."
Yeah.
Oh,
because that's all it's really about. Like, don't bullshit us. Don't come and do this karma nonsense. That's all it's about. As soon as Samantha told you that they're not together anymore, that's what it was really about. Like, you don't care about Natasha. It's still all about the man at the end of the day. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Carrie really is the worst, but hey.
I genuinely feel like this was one of her worst, like, character-wise episodes. Like, everything she did was out of pure selfishness. Pure selfishness. Yeah. So, it was awful. Awful, awful, awful. But I still enjoyed the episode, like I said, because a lot of things happened.
I did not. I don't want to watch an episode where I'm so annoyed. I was annoyed by everyone, except maybe Charlotte. But I was just annoyed. So, but yeah, but that was our episode for this week.
Tan, can you please tell the people where they can find us?
Yes, people, you can find us at the Rewatch Times 2. That is TheRewatchX2. And that's our handle on Twitter, handle on Instagram. And if you feel compelled to send us an email, it will be the same at gmail.com.
And please don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating. We would greatly appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope to see you next time. Bye.
Bye.